The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
ELW 879, for the beauty of the earth.
Let us pray. God of fresh beginnings, you make all things new in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Make us agents of your transforming power and heralds of your reign of justice and peace, that all may share in the healing Christ brings. Amen.
The first lesson is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 4 and verse 13 to 20. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red,' and in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some people say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. The word of the Lord.
Worship and Praise 31. Come, let us worship and bow down.
The second reading is from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon the divine name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the peoples. Sing to the Lord, sing praises, and speak of all the marvelous works of the Lord. Glory in the holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the strength of the Lord. Continually seek the face of God. Remember the marvels the Lord has done, the wonders and the judgments of the mouth of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
This is ELW 172. Hallelujah.
Reading from 2 Kings chapter 1. After Ahab died, Moab rebelled against Israel. One day, Ahaziah fell through the balcony railing on the rooftop of his house in Samaria and was injured. He sent messengers off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Am I going to recover from this accident? God's angel spoke to Elijah the Tishbite. Up on your feet, go out and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria with this word. Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're running off to consult Baal-zebub, god of Ekron? Here's a message from the God you've tried to bypass. You're not going to get out of that bed you're in. You're as good as dead already. Elijah delivered the message and was gone. The messengers went back. The king said, "So why are you back so soon? What's going on?" They told him, "A man met us and said, 'Turn around and go back to the king who sent you and tell him God's message.' Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're running off to consult Baal-zebub, god of Ekron? You needn't bother. You're not going to get out of that bed you're in. You're as good as dead already." The king said, "Tell me more about this man who met you and said these things to you. What was he like?" "Shaggy," they said, "and wearing a leather belt." He said, "That has to be Elijah the Tishbite." The king sent a captain with 50 men to Elijah. Meanwhile, Elijah was sitting, big as life, on top of a hill. The captain said, "O holy man, king's orders, come down." Elijah answered the captain of the 50, "If it's true that I'm a holy man, lightning strike you and your 50 men." Out of the blue, lightning struck and incinerated the captain and his 50. The king sent another captain with his 50 men. "O holy man, king's orders, come down, and right now." Elijah answered, "If it's true that I'm a holy man, lightning strike you and your 50 men." Immediately, a divine lightning bolt struck and incinerated the captain and his 50. The king then sent a third captain with his 50 men. For a third time, a captain with his 50 men approached Elijah. This one fell on his knees in supplication. "O holy man, have respect for my life and the souls of these 50 men. Twice now, lightning from out of the blue has struck and incinerated captains with their 50 men. Please, I beg you, respect my life." The angel of God told Elijah, "Go ahead and don't be afraid." Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. Elijah told him, "God's word, because you sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, as if there were no god in Israel to whom you could pray, you'll never get out of that bed alive. Already you're as good as dead." And he died exactly as God's word spoken by Elijah had said. Because Ahaziah had no son, his brother Joram became the next king. The succession took place in the second year of the reign of Jehoroam, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The rest of Ahaziah's life is recorded in the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Word of God, word of life. Ahaziah was king of Israel. And the effectiveness of the kings of Israel is, in the first place, measured by their faithfulness to God. But it's clear from this story about Ahaziah, which is the only story we have in the Bible about King Ahaziah, that he wasn't faithful to God at all. And why should he be? It's good to be king because kings have power and wealth. They have prestige and position. They have armies at their disposal. What does such a king need God for anyway? When everything's going well, you can just rely on yourself if you're the king. But when Ahaziah falls, he falls through his trellis, presumably from a terrace. He falls and he is wounded so badly that he takes to his bed. He then suddenly has a need for God, but because he's had absolutely no relationship with God, he sends his messengers to inquire of the god Baal-zebub whether or not he's going to live. This is an indication that Ahaziah is not faithful at all. He hasn't been following any god, and as we now know, the god Baal-zebub doesn't even exist. Baal-zebub was a false god. But the king sends to inquire of that false god, how is it going to go for me? When things are really, really bad, he turns to God and says, help me, essentially. And of course, this story can be allegorical for us. When things are going well for us, what do we need God for? If we can rely upon our own strength and our own power, our own position and our own resources, what need have we of any God? In fact, this is what Luther said about human beings, that the basic trouble with us is that we want to be God ourselves and that we don't want God to be God. It's as if Luther knew that if we had the means to be self-sufficient, if we were self-sufficient, we wouldn't have any need for God at all. But of course, when things don't go our way, we do exactly the same thing that Ahaziah did. We turn to God for help. In our time when things don't go our way, we turn to God in prayer and we ask other people to pray for us and we want God to deliver some sort of rescue for us from our trouble. But life, as it turns out, is not about getting our way. Life, as it turns out, is not about winning. It's not about succeeding. It's not about acquiring wealth. It's not about us. All throughout the Bible, we're taught that our lives are about community, that our lives are about care for one another. And Jesus' call to us over and over and over again is to love one another. And that is the life that he models in his ministry. Care for those, particularly for whom no one else cares. Life, as we are taught in the New Testament anyway, is about laying down our own wants and our own desires and our own position for the sake of those who suffer. But even this call and even these actions can fall victim to the same sort of cycle of life that Ahaziah was living. Because if we can help others and we can live for others and make a difference for others, when we're feeling on top of the world, we too have no need of God. We operate out of our strength and we have no need of God. Like Ahaziah, we have the same temptation, which is to shut God out of our lives completely until something catastrophic happens or something out of our control, maybe not catastrophic, but just beyond our control. Then we turn to God and we pray and ask God to make things right. It's possible that we can fail in the same ways that Ahaziah failed. To have a half-hearted relationship with God, to only seek God when we're in trouble, is to miss the point entirely. Because God doesn't promise to rescue us from our circumstances. God doesn't promise to make the circumstances of our lives better because we're praying. No, the strength of relationship with God, the strength of turning to God, the reward of turning to God, the promise of turning to God, is in itself the reward. The reward is relationship with God. Ahaziah really misses out because he turns to a non-existent God to ask for his fate. Instead of turning to the God of all life, instead of turning to the living God, the one who is a waymaker and a companion, the one who opens a hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing, he doesn't pay any attention to the God who is the source of life. And can you imagine Ahaziah's life if he had been in relationship, in lockstep with the God of life all along, his circumstance of having fallen and being mortally injured might not have changed. But he would be living in relationship with a living God, assured of God's presence and God's companionship and God's care through those dark and terrible times of lying on his deathbed. Instead, he was laying there wondering whether he was going to live or die, and most certainly unaccompanied by any deity at all. In other words, alone and uncertain in the midst of that trial. God calls us to relationship all the time, to make God number one in our lives, to pay attention to what Luther notices about us, that we want to be God ourselves. We want to be in control ourselves. We want things to go our way, rather than letting God be God and taking peace and comfort in the reality that God loves us, that God companions us, that God calls us to constant and renewed relationship, that our God is the source of life, that our God is a waymaker, that our God is a constant companion through whatever it is we experience in life. Can you put God on the throne of your life today and let God be God? Can you rest assured that God is big enough to accompany you, carry you, and love you through whatever this day may bring? And can you build a relationship with the God who is the source of life? Can you do that today and every day, so that you're not just turning to God when you're hurt, but that you're walking with God all the time and experiencing the goodness and the blessing that the God of life has to bring every day and every moment? This is the call of the Christian life, and it's the blessing I pray for you today. May the God who is the source of life call you with a voice loud enough for you to hear, and may you relinquish control to the one who's big enough to handle that control and to bless you with goodness and life. Amen.
Renewing Worship 153, Send Down the Fire.
Just is. Send down.
The creeds of the church are public professions of faith. Mostly they're ancient, but we also find our faith and our belief resonating with modern creeds. And so we profess our faith in the words of the creed, God the Provider. The words are below.
We believe in the God who provides for our every need, who has an answer to our deepest questions, and a purpose for us in life. Today we praise God the Provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, our holy brother, who stands by our side when light turns into darkness, who suffers our pain and turns it into a blessing. For the presence of Christ in our lives, we praise God the Provider. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, who inspires us when our spirits are dried up, who creates something new when old structures crumble. For the spirit of hope and renewal, we praise God the Provider. Amen.
Confident of the care of God and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. For your whole church throughout the world, O God, give courage in the midst of storm, so that we may see and hear Jesus calling. Take heart, do not be afraid. May we follow Christ wherever he leads. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the well-being of your creation, protect waterways, forests, lands, and wildlife from exploitation and abuse. Help the human family endeavor to sustain and be sustained by the resources of your hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the nations and their leaders, in you steadfast love and faithfulness meet, and righteousness and peace kiss. May nations in conflict know the peace that is the fruit of justice, and the justice that is the path to peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those in need, everyone who calls upon your name will be saved. Accompany all who are lonely, hear the voices of those who cry out in anguish, and support those who are frustrated in their search for an affordable place to live, and those who are anxious in their isolation. We pray for all who suffer today as we name them aloud and in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our congregation, you gather us, O God, as your people, and we thank you for the gift of our unity. We pray for those who are new to the community, for students and teachers preparing for a new school year, for all those who are struggling with unexpected hardship, and all those who struggle to stay connected in this time of isolation. Supply us generously with your grace for our life together, and sustain us in your mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For what else do the people of God pray? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for the saints of the whole church from all times and places, and for the saints in our lives and in our community whom you have gathered to yourself. We especially remember all who have died since the start of the pandemic. And we ask that you keep their families in your mercy and in your care, as well as in our hearts and on our minds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Receive a blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Sustainer bless you and keep you now and always. Amen.
Bless God's holy name by Andre Crouch.
Go in peace and seek the face of the God of life. Thanks be to God.